This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to The Daily Digest with me, T. Shao-Ik, Lim Su-An and Shamila Gunnison. We've been bringing you discussions related to political developments in the country. We've looked at the role of the interim prime minister, what happens now without a cabinet to govern, and what are some of the policy reforms at stake. We took a look at one particular ministry in that story, and now we're turning our lens to public sentiment around these developments.
So for those of us who recall that general euphoria and excitement of GE14 back in 2018... This current turn of events is, you know, to say the least, a letdown. You know, all of us remember having that excitement of having made a change, only to feel very deflated.
Betrayed. And for many of us, and for many of you Pakatan Harapan supporters, the coalition was supposed to signal a new kind of politics, you know, a more transparent and open one that that put the rakyat at its heart. But, you know, the events of the last few days have many of us questioning, you know, all of this.
So to get a feel of what some of these Pakatan supporters are feeling right now, I spoke earlier today to author and political blogger E.S. Shankar, who has long been a vocal critic of the previous Barisan National Government, as well as a strong supporter of the Pakatan Harapan Coalition. So I started off by asking him, as someone who was, you know, very outspoken about the need for reform, for change, and as a Pakatan supporter himself, what his reaction was to that Sheraton meeting and the subsequent political fallout.
For me, it's very clear. This was a treachery being planned from within the Pakatan Harapan Coalition. And it's a totally unacceptable situation. For me, it's very clear. Before GE14, Pakatan Harapan made two very important announcements, and which was agreed to by all the component parties. One was that Dr. Mahathir would be an interim PM with power handed over to the transition PM within 2 years of the general election if they win. And the second most important thing in the Pakatan Harapan's approach was the manifesto. So both of these were very crucial elements of decision-making when it came to the people deciding who they would vote for in order to secure perhaps a change in the government that has been ruling us for the last... for the last 60-odd years before 2018. And so they were duty-bound to hand over this... to deliver on these... on the manifesto and the transition of power agreements. But what subsequently happened was that Dr. Mahathir kept dithering on it or not giving clear answers of when he would hand over. And so it was well within Pakatan Harapan's component parties last Friday to ask him to give a firm date. And we did get an announcement later that Dr. Mahathir had agreed to hand over, but we still did not have a firm date, and that the party component parties had expressed clear support for him. Now, any other party which wants to step in and say they have the majority in parliament must follow what is the procedure laid out in the Constitution, and that is they have to table a motion of no confidence in Parliament and go for a vote. And if they succeed in securing a victory there, then they should call for a general election, because any mandate for members of Parliament to form a party to rule is given by the people and not... it is not a case where, you know, you can secure the people's mandate and then go off in at a tangent in a different direction and say we don't need to come back to the citizens of this country if there's going to be a change halfway through the tenure of the government. So this whole thing has been handled in a very messy way by none other than the Prime Minister of our country, Dr. Mahathir. And he's answerable for what happened. You know, in any other civilized country, when you have this kind of what I consider a coup d'etat, they should come out and have and address the nation, like a State of the Nation address, and tell us what happened and why this happened and what they are going to do next to secure the rule of law. But this has not happened. And many people are disappointed with DAP and PKR as well, because all the leaders are keeping quiet, and this is not what we voted for at G14. What we voted was for a accountable and transparent government, which consulted, and then when they had problems, they should come back and explain to us what the debacle is and what we should do, or at least keep us informed. But right now, all we have is pretty much silence and a lot of decisions being made, which are not communicated to the people who voted them in, and it's all hushed up in secrecy and, you know, behind closed doors, and it's a lot of cloak and dagger stuff that is going on. That is, and this is not exactly what we anticipated from a change in government.
You know, is there a certain amount of disappointment or disheartenment following this? Do you see yourself as still being on Pakatan's side?
I'm still on Pakatan's side, because the alternative to me is going to be anathema to the whole country, because what seems to have happened is that there is a move to form a completely exclusive Malay-Muslim political party. And that means that all the others in this country will not have a proper representation in parliament if this party secures a majority and forms the next government. For the last 50, 60 years, we've had Barisan Nasional, which is a coalition of multiple ethnic parties. And this should continue, and has been so. And so we saw in Pakatan Harapan a continuation of the system where, you know, it was an inclusive government insofar as all the races were concerned. But with this move by some within the Pakatan Harapan to gazumpers with the party midway through without calling for elections and then claiming that it is a legal move, this is totally unacceptable.
So what do you expect from the party now?
What I expect is very simple. We voted for Pakatan Harapan with Dr. Mahathir as Prime Minister. And at this point, I'd like to mention that many people are saying, oh, without Dr. Mahathir, we could not have won the last election. But I would point out to them that between DAP and PKR, they had 90 seats. And in the end, Bersatu, which is Dr. Mahathir, only had 11 seats. So it is a combination of two. We had the majority, but we needed Dr. Mahathir to take us over the line. But there was a clear agreement which was communicated that there would be a transition of power. And this dithering about this transfer of power is what has caused this mess. The opposition has seen a split in the Pakatan Harapan and have exploited it to the full. I'm not saying it's illegal. This is politics, and therefore all's fair and right. But what I expect now is that, and I also don't agree with this new move where Dr. Mahathir has been made an interim prime minister, which to me is not in the constitution. What should have happened is there should have been a caretaker administration and a prime minister. And then parliament should have reconvened as it's going to, I think, on 4th or 10th, I'm not sure of March. And at that stage, if anybody feels they can form an alternative government, they should table a motion and say, yes, we'll pass a motion of no confidence against Pakatan Harapan. If they succeed, yes, then you go for general elections. And always, this thing should come back to the people who give the mandate for others to form a government and to rule us for 5 years, and not for these MPs to somehow bypass this safeguard and this process. Because it is obvious that they are afraid to go to Parliament and have the vote, because nobody has, while they can say they have all got these statutory declarations signed and in their pockets, the reality is that the King cannot sit down and verify whether each one of them are genuine. I'd interview 120 people. There's no time for all that. So the only logical and proper procedure is to go back to Parliament. Everything starts from there and must end there, you know. So this is what, if Dr. Mahathir is a man of principle and honor and understands ethics, he will go back and form a new government with the same people who were voted in 2018, albeit there will be changes in ministers and deputy ministers and chief ministers of states and so on, and then go back to parliament. If the opposition in UMNO and PAS and some people in the from GBS in Sarawak feel they can get the majority of more than 112 seats and form a government, let them do it in parliament. Let it be open and transparent so that we can all see what is going on. Right now we don't know what is going on. You know, we have no idea what Dr. Mahathir is planning. We have no idea whether he will actually call for a new cabinet, because the Attorney General has just said that the appointment of an interim Prime Minister does not carry an expiry date. So he could, if he wanted, be the Prime Minister until elections are due in 2023. And that, you know, would be a totally unacceptable thing, because we never anticipated that we would give absolute power to one man to rule this country. In fact, that was the whole idea of having Pakatan Harapan, was that too much power was concentrated in the hands of the previous Prime Minister, to the extent that we all felt he was abusing the process and us. So we don't want to go back to that situation where one man has everything is in hands and nobody else can do anything. So this situation has to be resolved very quickly, and we want the status quo restored. The Rakyat voted in Pakatan Harapan in 2018. That should not change. And if anyone wants to change that, they should go back to parliament.
So that was author and political blogger E.S. Shankar sharing his thoughts on what, as a Pakatan supporter, he expects from the coalition now moving forward.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we can all agree, at least on the fact that we all need more clarity and transparency on what is going on right now.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, the biggest blow for all of us is just that, you know, the government is there to serve people, and by circumventing these the due process, mm-hmm. We are being cheated.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully we'll see a lot more of that in the future.
Mm-hmm.
We also received a few tweets on the issues that we were talking about today. So Captain Meow says that on Twitter says that the people have voted for PH to be in government, but this collapse has got to do with the incompetence in Pakatan and their failure to listen to the Malay people. So the collapse is to be blamed on PH and DAP and their infighting. We also have Christina on Twitter saying that I sat in the car listening to BFM radio and feeling pretty sad, but I remember what Obama said, that progress isn't a straight line. Standards have changed, and hopefully there's more hope and faith in our system and potential leaders.
Mm. So we will be keeping an eye on developments, and we'll continue to update you.
Yep, and definitely stay tuned for our hourly news updates for those. And that's all the time we have for the Daily Digest now. You can look us up on Facebook at BFM The Bigger Picture. If you'd like to drop us a message, you can still continue to tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest on our BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up after the 3 o'clock news on Front Row, Sharmila will be speaking to the folks behind the fourth restaging of Rashomon, a story that is just a little less convoluted than what's happening here in Malaysia.
Yes.
So we'll leave you now. Thank you so much for tuning in. You've been listening to The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.